Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International once again. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a noble, the beautiful day of Jum'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the divine inspiration that we can take maximum benefit of this great day. As you did hear, there are some programming changes that are taking place. This is the last week that I will be hosting this program. Inshallah, from next week, Friday, Maulana Daya will be hosting this program between 9 and 10 every Friday morning. It will be the same, I think it's going to be more or less the same. Maulana Muhammad Aku, who has been our guest on the program, Maulana will still be coming on, and he will still be speaking about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It might just be a bit of a shorter segment, and Maulana Daya will then include part of his own program incorporated with the Nikah program as well. The Sahaba, it is amazing people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen and selected to live in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's amazing to learn and to read and to listen about their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the inspiration that we can make the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum our true leaders and our true, we can live up to their life. This week, Maulana speaks on a Sahabiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, a Sahabiyah by the name of Nasiba binti Kaab, a really great Sahabiyah, and the amount of efforts that she had put in for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her in abundance and grant our women folk as well the tawfiq and the divine inspiration that they can also have the jazbah and the desire to serve the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us listen attentively.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All our honored respected listeners, may Allah accept us for his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of these really mubarak lives. What lives they lived. Just for us to take their name becomes ibadat. What sacrifices they made for mankind to get hidayah. What sacrifices they made for deen to be pristine and preserved and protected in its pristine form. Really, we are indebted through and through. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the way they worked on their families, the way they worked on their children, the way they worked in their husbands and their wives, putting Allah's deen forward, putting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forward, they understood that everything has to be given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every sacrifice for that was considered meena, was considered simple. Every sacrifice, no matter what they did, and they sacrificed it for deen, they sacrificed it for Allah, they sacrificed it for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were so humble, they considered themselves that they didn't do much. They took it as a blessing from Allah, that Allah, you accepted my family for your deen. Really, their understanding was wara, was beyond our imagination. That's why it's so important for us to understand their lives, to understand their temperament, to understand their thinking, that Allah Ta'ala can forgive us on the day of Qiyamah through them, like deen reached us through them. It was the occasion of Aqaba. And my respected listeners, all of us should know what was Aqaba. Bay'atul Aqaba. It was in the latter Meccan portion, latter Meccan period of the life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were a few years consecutively wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the Ansar, met the people of Medina. He met them in the 10th year as well, but these sequence of events continued from the 11th year, 12th year and 13th year. 11th year he met these few youngsters, he spoke to them, he said to them, where you'll come from, you'll seem to be strangers in this region. They said, we are from Yathrib. Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I sit to speak to you all, explain to you all something important? And he explained to them, and the six of them embraced Islam. The six of them returned the next year with seven new brothers and five of the previous year. So they were 12. So in the 12th year, 12 came and met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they request Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a teacher and a da'i. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba to teach deen. We have discussed this many times. Then in that year, so much of effort was made in Medina, so many people changed. 74 people came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 13th year. 74 people. Among them were two women. Among them were two women. And really, these were amazing people. One of these women was Nasiba. Nasiba binti Ka'b bin Amr bin Auf bin Mabzul. She was famously known as Ummu Umara. Ummu Umara radiyallahu ta'ala anha. What a woman. What a woman she was. She participated in this bay'ah. She had participated in this bay'ah. With her was another sahabiyya radiyallahu anha, whose name was Asma bint Amr bin Adi. And she was famously known as Ummu Mani'a radiyallahu anha. So let us remember, my respected listeners, my respected mothers and fathers, the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and pronounce them correctly. Nasiba binti Ka'b, Ummu Umara radiallahu anha. And this is Asma binti Amr, Ummu Mani' radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nasiba binti Ka'b radiallahu anha. Let's analyze her life. She had brothers who were also great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. For example, Abdullah bin Ka'b, Abdul Rahman bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Ka'b, her brother, participated in Badr. And he did guarding, he did the guarding work for the booty. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Badr appointed him to guard the booty and so forth. And in all the expeditions, he used to participate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then much later in his life, he left this world, somewhere in the 60th Hijri. And then there was another brother of hers, Abdul Rahman bin Ka'b, because she is Nasiba binti Ka'b. So her brother, another brother of hers is Abdul Rahman bin Ka'b, radiallahu anhu. Now Abdul Rahman bin Ka'b also is one of the famous Sahaba known as min al-Bakka'in, those that cried when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Tabuk, that, oh Nabi of Allah, really we want to come, sincerely, but we can't afford it on our own. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا أجد ما أحملكم علي أو my Sahaba, I wish I had extra conveyance to take you all with. They turned crying profusely. Quran even speaks of their cry. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What ultimate sacrifice they made. We can't even make a little sacrifice for Allah's deen. And then when they weren't given the opportunity, they used to cry. If someone puts a little pressure on us and say, brother, come sacrifice, give some time for Allah. Give some time besides the fara'id, besides what is fard, come meet people for Allah's sake, meet people, talk to people about Allah, hear about Allah, then we want to start crying. Allah forgive us. That little extra time, we can't bear it. Look at Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. This was her brother, Abdul Rahman bin Ka'b. Her husband's name was Zayd ibn Asim. Zayd bin Asim bin Ka'b. So Zayd bin Asim from the Banu Najjar tribe married her long before the advent of Islam. And she bore for Zayd Habib bin Zayd and Abdullah bin Zayd. Now my respected listeners, I hope we're recording and documenting down, because we have to remember these Sahaba. Habib bin Zayd and Abdullah bin Zayd. These were the children of Ummu Umara from the Sahabi Zayd ibn Asim. After that there was some incident, and then Zayd bin Asim divorced his wife radiallahu anhum, and then Ghaziya bin Amr bin Atiya radiallahu anhu married her. This was the system of Medina Munawwara. They never looked down on a divorcee, a woman who was divorced. She was also given her virtue. She was also given her value. She was also given her respect. She was also given a chance again. Everything wasn't just blamed on her, like the sad state of the society today, which is inappropriate and incorrect, that a woman that has been divorced is just looked down upon. That was not the environment of Medina Munawwara. That was not the environment of Medina Munawwara. In Medina Munawwara, if one had to part from his wife with consultation between him and his wife, then when he would depart, another Sahabi would marry his wife, and he would be happy with that, that maybe they will get along better. And he wouldn't look at it, no, she's a divorcee, I don't want to marry her. This was not the system. There was merit, and there was respect, and there was kindness, there was understanding of the fact that, okay, sometime it didn't work for two. Someone else, Allah Ta'ala will make it work. And Quran even gives virtue of marrying a sayyib woman. Sayyibati wa abakara. In Surah Tahrim, Allah Ta'ala speaks of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wife, women who were formerly widowed, women who were formerly divorced. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, most of his wives were of this category. And Allah Ta'ala highlights the virtue of such women, my respected listeners. So really, we should not place a blemish or a stain on such a woman, because every person deserves a chance. Who are we to judge? Look at our hero on this instance, for example, Ummu Umara radiallahu anha. Something happened, but life carried on. Someone else married her. They also did well together. And the way she took care of her children, my respected listeners. Habib and Abdullah bin Zayd. Imagine she participated in this occasion of Aqaba. And she brought her little children. She wanted them also to put their little hands in the blessed Mubarak hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how she would instill the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her children from a very young and tender age. I implore you, my respected listeners, my respected mothers, teach our children Sahaba's lives from a very young age, that they love and they aspire to take the Sahaba's name, and then they will aspire to be like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As time went on, I want to elaborate a little on then Aqaba, when in this occasion of Aqaba, Ghaziyah bin Amr, the then husband of Ummu Umara radiallahu anha, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, amongst us, because the meeting was late at night, after midnight it was, at a certain point, location, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to come, and there was this gathering wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented his advisors, and the bay'ah took place. This pledge of allegiance. And then Ghaziyah radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, there's two women amongst us, my wife Ummu Umara and Ummu Mani' radiallahu anhum. They have also come to take the bay'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted and gave them bay'ah verbally. And he said very clearly, Inni la usafihun nisa. I do not shake the hands of this of woman. This is the beauty of our deen. The laws of Islam are clear, outright, clear-cut. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the example of the whole of the ummah, of the whole of mankind. What a perfect example. Allah save us, my respected listeners. This is something we fall short in. Now what will she say? What will happen? What will happen to the deal? We think of what they will say, and what he will say, and what the company will say. Do we ever consider what my Allah will say? What my Allah thinks about this? What my Allah decides in this regard? What I'm saying is, we don't phrase it like that, what my Allah thinks about it, but don't we consider that fact, my respected listeners? What does my Allah decide in this regard? What my Allah wants me to do? This is taqwa. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Ma'aqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu is the reporter of this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَيُّطْعَنَا فِي رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ بِمَخِيطٍ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَيَّ مَسَّ مْرَأَةً لَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. Rather, a steel nail be driven through your brain, then touch the hand of a strange woman. This is the teaching of Islam. And look what protection is there in that. Like that Jamaat that was striving in the path of Allah, and they were going to this European country. And as they stopped, they reached the airport, it was Salah time. And this is the beautiful part also of going out in Jamaat. We learn sunnahs, we learn the importance of deen, that Allah's order should be carried out in every scenario, in every occasion. We come out to learn. We come out to learn. And as it was Salah time, they performed the Salah. And what a beautiful sight it is, Salah being performed. You know, and what a beautiful da'wah it is, that Muslims, wherever they are, they perform their Salah. After that, when Western woman comes to them, and she says that, what are you all doing? So the Amir, respectfully lowering his gaze, says that we're praying to God Almighty. So she says, but it's not Sunday today. So he responds and says, we pray to God 5 times a day, every day. So in astonishment, she said, sure, that is very difficult. So he responds and he says, actually not difficult, it's a boon and a blessing from Almighty God. Because His favors are so many. Just to pray five times is nothing in comparison to the favors of Almighty God. And then through our salah, our prayer, we find tranquility, peace, contentment, happiness. So we actually can't do without it. He concisely just presented that, and then he stopped. So she wanted to take leave, and she extended her hand to give a handshake. So he respectfully held his hand back and said, "I'm sorry, Almighty God is watching me. I have respect for you. You are someone else's sister, someone else's wife, someone else's daughter. And this is my wife's trust." In emotion, this woman said, "How I wish our men were like you people. How I wish our men were like you people." This is the beauty of Islam. Wherever we go, we practice deen. And what a beautiful dawah it is. If we go and practice the deen of Allah, practice Islam as Islam is. How perfect is our faith? How perfect is our religion? Allah give us tawfiq to practice it. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, and Umara radiallahu anha remembers this from that occasion, that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, that la usafihun nisa. As time went on, Umara radiallahu anha, she gave her life for Allah's deen. Her children, just to explain a little bit about the children, because the children come from the mother's efforts and the father's efforts. On this occasion, the mother took a lot of care for them, because at that time another man had married Umara radiallahu ta'ala anha. But look how she prepared her children. For example, Habib radiallahu anhu, he couldn't participate in Badr because he was very tender in age at that time. And also Uhud, because he was too young still. But his mother would always inspire him and encourage him. But remember, he was not there in Uhud, but his mother participated in Uhud. Umara radiallahu anha, she was there in Uhud. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so amazed at her defense for Islam. Allah's Nabi said, مَلْتَفَتْتُ يَوْمَ أُحُدْ يَمِينًا وَلَا شِمَالًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ أُمُّ عُمَارَ تُقَاتِلُ دُونِي. When I turned right or left on the battlefield of Uhud, Ummu Umara was defending me. Ummu Umara was defending me. Look at Ummu Umara. Look at the status, look at the understanding of this individual, that my Nabi mustn't get hurt. Herself, she went to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this occasion of Uhud, Allah's Nabi commented and said, لَمَقَامُ نَسِيبَ بِنْتِ كَعْبَ الْيَوْمِ خَيْرٌ مِّن مَقَامِ فُلَانٍ وَفُلَانٍ طَبَقَاتِ ابْنُ سَعَدٍ. Such a position, such a stance Nasiba took. She actually excelled so many, many men. Meaning, she took Allah's Nabi to heart, and she wanted to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her life. That even on this occasion of Uhud, she was so wounded, she was so injured, but she didn't mind that. She wanted to defend the deen of Allah. She wanted to defend the cause of Allah Ta'ala's deen. That even on this occasion of Uhud, there were so many wounds on her body, and she was actually tended to. But still, every occasion, she had participated and served Allah Ta'ala's deen. That was in Uhud. For example, the occasion of Khandaq, she was actually encouraging the woman greatly. On the occasion of Bay'atul Ridwan, when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to perform Umrah, when Allah Ta'ala showed him, and he traveled with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Among them were four women. Who were these four? Ummu Umara radiallahu ta'ala anha was one. The other was Ummu Mani'. We can remember Ummu Mani' with her husband, Khudayj ibn Salama, radiallahu anhum. So Ummu Mani' radiallahu anha was with as well on this occasion of Umratul Qadha. Ummu Amir al-Ashhaliyya radiallahu anha. Her name was Fukiha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Ummu Salama, Hind binti Abi Umayya, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha was also with on this occasion. So these Sahaba radiallahu anhu, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with Ummu Salama radiallahu anhu on that occasion. And she gave beautiful advice that, O Nabi of Allah, you just remove your hair and sacrifice your animal and everyone will follow suit. So she was there on that occasion also. So, but her son was young at the time of Uhud. And then as time went on, she trained her son to serve Allah's deen so well. It was the ninth year after Hijrah. And her son had grown well, and he had become strong. and a great youngster who was by Rasulullah's side, and Islam had spread very, very far and wide in the ninth year. There were so many delegations coming into Medina Munawwara, my respected listeners. Delegation after delegation. 50 people, 60 people, 100 people, 200 people, all are coming to embrace Islam. This was in the ninth year after Hijrah. That's why it's known as Amul Wufud, the year of the delegations. And every delegation that would come in, to understand that these groups, these jamaats are coming into Medina Munawwara to hear about Islam from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would invite them to Islam, would explain to them the teachings of Islam, and then they would embrace Islam. There were so many delegations like this. There's lists, there's full lists in the books of history of how these tribes used to come in and how they would be invited to Islam and what happened when they entered Medina Munawwara. Wafd Abdul Qais came, the delegation of Abdul Qais. Wafd Dos, the Dos delegation. People from Farwa bin Amr Judami came. The delegation of Suda tribe came. Ka'b bin Zuhair, who actually used to revile Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made tawbah and he changed and he came to Medina Munawwara and he repented and he presented praises of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out his shawl and gave it to him. The delegation of Azra, the delegation of Bali, the delegation of Saqif, the Saqif coming from Taif, they also arrived in Medina Munawwara to embrace Islam in the ninth year. There were letters from the Yemeni kings, the delegation of Hamdan. These delegations would come, they would spend time in the masjid, they would see the environment of the masjid, and they would embrace Islam. The delegation of Fuzara, the delegation of Madran, and many, many delegations and many, many tribes came. There was one tribe that came were known as Wafd Abdul Qais. They were known as Wafd Bani Hanifa. This tribe came. So all of them came to present and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one man, he decided to stay in the outskirts of Medina. So he stayed behind. His name was Musaylima Al-Kazzab. And the delegation all embraced Islam. And after that, he also came and said, okay, I'm also Muslim. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the ikram. This was the beautiful, among the beautiful attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that any guest to Medina Munawwara was given gifts, was given a welcoming, was given a warm welcome. This was a common practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even as he was leaving this world, he said to Sahaba, Ajizul wafda bimithli ma kuntu ujizuhum. Give gifts to those delegations coming to embrace Islam and make the ikram like I would make the ikram. What a teaching, what a beautiful teaching to make ikram of newcomers, soften their heart. Even this Musaylima who came, Allah's Nabi gave a hadiyah and a tawfah for him also. And like that, now as they were leaving Medina Munawwara, the same Musaylima Kazzab that came from Najd, he was really jealous. And he's seeing the position and the status of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he made a statement and a claim, a false claim obviously, that I am also the Nabi of Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sent to Quraysh only, and I am sent to the Banu Hanifa tribe, my tribe. And now his people thought, hey, what an honor it will be for us that we got a prophet from our people. Like what a prophet, what an honor it is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from Banu Hashim. So we can also have that. So because of this evil quality of racialism, to be a, you know, racist, that my person. So Musaylima Kazzab had a lot of followers around him, to such an extent that his followers knew, and many of them would say amongst each other, that I know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true, and Musaylima is an imposter, but I'd rather follow an imposter from the Rabi'a tribe than a truthful man from the Mudar tribe, Sadiqi Mudar. So this is how dangerous it is, my respected listeners, to follow on this kind of system, on this kind of attitude, that my person, that's why I will listen. My person, that's why I will listen to that talk. My person, that's why I will make mashura. What do we mean, my person? We are Muslims. Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. That's why it's so important for us as Muslims to study the tafsir of this surah, Surah Hujurat, under the guidance of the ulama. How beautiful are the laws and the systems and the methods of brotherhood, how to bring brotherhood into us, that we are brothers, and what to take out of us. And among these evil qualities we need to take out is this tribalism and racialism. Allah Ta'ala save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to actually judge a person on this tribalistic system. It, to Allah's eyes, it's even worse. You fall in Allah's eyes. لَكُنْتُمْ أَهْوَنْ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجُعْلَانِ. You become more despicable than even that dung bird, dung bug, that bug that likes to live inside the excreta. And even when it comes out of there, it's not happy. It wants to squeeze itself back into that fresh excrement. This is what this racialism is equated to in this report, my respected listeners. It's something which is taboo. It is not acceptable. That my qawm, what is this? This is not part of Islam. Islam is brotherhood. And this is what Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum taught us. Love for the whole Muslim ummah. Love for every nationality. Love for every person. Kindness, akhlaq, and character. Different colors, different race, different nationality. But we are one because Islam unites us. And this is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught us. Now Musaylima started having a big following. And people are following him because of his tribe. And then he wrote a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Astaghfirullah. And wherein he said, I am Musaylima, the Rasul of Allah. To Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul of Allah. Peace be unto you. I am also the Nabi with you. Half the land is mine and half is yours. But you Quraysh are transgressing. Anyway, two men came with this letter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, what do you all say? No, they said, no, we say also what our Prophet is saying. Anyway, Allah's Nabi said, how false is what you all are saying? And then Rasulullah s.a.w. wrote a letter to Musaylima al-Kadhab. Min Muhammadin Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Musaylima al-Kadhab. From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, to Musaylima, the imposter, the liar. As-salamu ala man ittaba'a al-huda. Peace be upon those who follow guidance. And then Allah's Nabi said, as for what comes next is this fact, that فَإِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ. Not half yours, half mine. The earth belongs to Allah. The lands belong to Allah. Allah gives it to whom from His servants He wants to. But the end result, the best outcome, and the victory in the end is for those who have the consciousness of Allah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed as a bearer of this letter, this great Sahabi, Habib bin Zayd, the son of Ummu Umara radiallahu ta'ala anha, my respected listeners. With him was another Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Wahab. These two Sahaba went and they reached the lands of Najd. Now Musaylima Kadhab sees them. So he actually sends them to be detained somewhere the first day. Now imagine these Sahaba. Now they brought before Musaylima the second day. Musaylima had all his men, his tyrannical, you know, people, puppets with him, who were actually in this whole deal of tricking people. That's why he had them to actually disperse among the people, and when people would come to him to matters, these would actually meet him behind and tell him what he knew, what they knew, and what they found out of those people. So he acted like that, as though he knew the unseen, and he was getting information, and then he used to make up words, very, very foolish words, and try and say that this is Quran. But even those around him used to laugh. He heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched, you know, a child, and the child got cured. He touched the head of that child, the child's hair fell off. He heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his mubarak saliva into a well and it turned sweet. He spat in one well and it turned bitter, like that. So he had really evil attitudes and mannerisms, and he used to cover his face so that people had that awe for him. And now this Sahabi Habib radiallahu anhu is brought in front of Musaylima. So Musaylima then gets him shackled and asks him this question. Tell me, do you believe that I am the Nabi of Allah? The Sahabi with firm iman. Imagine, a large multitude of people. Even the masses were allowed to surround there. He stands there firm with his iman, with strong iman in his heart, like a powerful spear, standing up straight. No submission to creation. Musaylima asks him, do you bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah? And the Sahabi can see the repercussion of his answer. What's happening around him? He's shackled already. He's tied up. He says, of course, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Musaylima was enraged. After that awe that he placed around and all the people viewing, he thought there will be fear in this young Sahabi. And he will be taken by fear and he'll accept, you know, he'll deny that just to save his life. So Musaylimah was enraged. And then he said, وَتَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ What about me? Do you bear witness that I am also the Nabi of Allah? The Sahabi responds with firm iman. He said, إِنَّ فِي أُذُنَيَّ صَمَّمًا عَنْ سَمَاعِ مَا تَقُولُ My ears cannot hear anything of what you say. Musaylimah was shocked. He was baffled. He was dumbstruck by the response of this Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. In spite of being faced with all the challenges in front of him, everyone looking around him, applauding for Musaylimah. And now Musaylimah asks him this question, and he responds clearly, I have nothing to hear from you, Musaylimah. Then the Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, responds with such firm iman. Then Musaylimah says to his butcher there, Jalladihi, cut him up. This man goes and cuts a portion of his body. So that limb, whether it was his arm or a big chunk of his body, falls to the ground. And then Musaylimah asks him the question again. Now remember, he's bleeding. A big chunk of his body is severed from him. So his body, and then next to him is a chunk of his body. And this difficult scene, everyone is witnessing this. He asks him, now do you bear testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah? He says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He says, what about me? Am I the Nabi of Allah as well? He says, haven't I told you earlier? Inna fi udhunayya samaman an samai ma taqul. What you have to say, I have nothing to hear. He says, he should be cut again. Another big portion of his body, a chunk of his body was cut off. It rolled next to him. And then everyone is viewing this. Everyone is shocked. Musaylimah kept on asking, do you bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah? He said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Until his body, half of his body were like mincemeat next to him, and half of his body was a piece of flesh speaking, saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That same beautiful Nabi, that same beautiful Nabi in whose hands he placed his little hands when he was a little child in the Bay'atul Aqaba. The Sahabi, half his body cut into pieces next to him, and half his body resounding with the name of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emanating from that body, my respected sister. Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And like that, his ruh departed from his body. Hudur ki sahaba, these are the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody can be like them. Nobody can be compared to them. What qurbani, what sacrifice, what understanding of the deen of Allah, what understanding of their objective. My respected listeners, this is how we have to understand these beautiful lives. And he gave his life. And when his mother heard that news, she was sad that she lost her son. But she was honored that my son gave his life for Allah's deen. And his mother was such a woman. My respected listeners, let us learn from them. Look at Sahaba. Allah forgive us when we go into environments where the sunnah is being neglected. We rather neglect the sunnah also and be like others. When we were supposed to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all occasions, we were supposed to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah's Nabi is the hero. Allah's Nabi is the one to be followed. Maqil, this was the mizaj of Sahaba, the temperament of Sahaba. Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu had taken Islam to one region of non-Muslims, and many accepted Islam, and then he became a governor in that region. And as they were having meals together with the non-Muslims of that region, this report is in Ibn Majah, and as they're eating meals, some morsels had fallen from the hands of Maqil radiallahu anhu, so he picks it up from the dastarkhan, from the tablecloth. So the man next to him taps him and says, look at how these bishops are staring at you, that there's so much of food, and the morsels that had fallen, you had picked that up. He said, this is what I learned from my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I will never leave my Nabi's teaching for any bishop or for anyone for that matter. These are the Sahaba. In every occasion, in every situation, they had Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow. As Muslims, we don't say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. We say, wherever you are, whether in Rome, do as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And this is what we should teach our children from a very tender young age, my respected listener. This is what we have to do. Anyway, after that, when the Sahabi gave his life for Allah's deen like this, and his mother got this news, it hurt her very much. And she was also happy that he gave his life for Allah's deen. Then, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this temporary world, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu prepared men to strive in Allah's path, to bring people back to Islam, and there was a banner tied under Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to go for Musaylimah al-Kadhab, who had done such hideous crimes to such an extent that he had murdered the messenger, the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was the biggest crime at that time. If you murdered or harmed the envoy of another king and ruler. And in this expedition, who also got ready? This battle of Yamama, it's known as, a famous battle in history, Ma'rakatul Yamama. It was Nusayba binti Ka'ab. Nasiba binti Ka'ab radiallahu anha, she also got ready, and she came, and she asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's permission, and she was amongst those who also participated on this occasion. And she just mentioned in poetry so beautiful the stanza of her son, really the words of Sahaba are so beautiful. مَضَى صَاحِبِي قَبْلِي وَخُلِّفْتُ بَعْدَهُ فَكَيْفَ بِأَعْضَاءِ الْبَقِيَّةِ أَصْنَعُ وَقَالَ لَهُ الْكَذَّابُ تَشْهَدُ أَنَّنِي رَسُولٌ فَأُمَى أَنَّنِي لَسْتُ أَسْمَعُ فَقَالَ أتشهد أنها لمحمد فنادى بدعوى الحق لا يتتعتع فضرب أم الرأس فيه بسيفه غوي لحاه الله بالفتك مولع مضى صاحبي قبلي وخلفت بعده فكيف بأعضاء البقية أصنع وقال له الكذاب تشهد أنني رسول فأومى أنني لست أسمع فقال أشهد أنها لمحمد فنادى بدعوى الحق لا يتتعتع فضرب أم الرأس فيه بسيفه غوي لحاه الله بالفتك مولع. She rendered these verses. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum would give feelings also, give, you know, vent to their feelings in beautiful words of poetry. Which is really marvelous and amazing, these words of Nasiba radiallahu anha, wherein she renders that entire scene of what happened to her son in these verses of poetry, that my companion left before me, and I am left behind after him. He has gone to Allah, and his limbs were cut off. So she, see the love she had for her son, the way she portrays that he was my friend and my companion. And then the Kadhab told him that, do you bear witness that I am Allah's messenger? And he said to the Kadhab, I do not listen to what you have to say. My ears are deafened from your words. Then he says, do you accept? And he said, I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And this imposter then murdered my son, you know, mercilessly in front of the entire multitude. And she also participated in this expedition. And in this expedition, as these criminals had resorted into the garden of moat, it's known as they had resorted in there, now Ummu Umara radiallahu anha, she's looking for Musaylimah al-Kadhab. She's looking right, she's looking left, she's looking everywhere. Where is Musaylimah al-Kadhab? Where is Musaylimah al-Kadhab? And then Wahshi radiallahu anhu, who was a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he now also participated here, and he wanted to use the same spear in which in his past life he made the mistake and assassinated murdered Hamza radiallahu anhu unjustly, and then he made tawbah and he changed. Now he wanted to atone for that, even though he knew he was forgiven because being a sahabi, but he had that passion to actually do something else for Allah's deen. And what he did, he carried the spear, and he also was on the hunt for Musaylimah al-Kadhab in this expedition. And he went and he searched, and then he spotted Musaylimah al-Kadhab, and he casted his spear at Musaylimah, and Musaylimah was struck by the spear of Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is a difference of opinion because one sahabi by the name of Abdullah also struck him. So Wahshi radiallahu anhu says, I don't know if it was my spear that hit him first or it was the sword of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. But he says, if it was my spear that hit him first, then I would have, with the spear, murdered the best of people, and then I made tawbah, and then I finished off the worst of people with the same spear. Ummu Umara radiallahu anha, when she saw this whole scene, she made shukr to Allah Ta'ala. She was a sahabi who gave her life for Allah's deen. She gave her life for Allah's deen. Ummu Umara radiallahu ta'ala anha. Just to recap a little bit about her life, Ummu Umara radiallahu anha in Uhud, she had 12 deep wounds. And then all her life she gave for Allah's deen serving. And on this occasion of Yamama, she was so badly wounded that she lost her arm. She lost her arm. And as they returned to Medina Munawwara, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to go and visit and see how is Ummu Umara doing, how is their treatment, is she getting better. This is how valuable the Sahabiya. Even the Sahaba radiallahu anhu knew her status. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there were some nice, pieces of cloth for hijab. And there was one beautiful, very high quality one. Big, nice one. Very expensive. And then someone told him, why don't you give this to your daughter-in-law, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's wife, Safiya binti Abi Ubaid. Give it to Safiya binti Abi Ubaid, the famous wife of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, I want to send it to someone who's more worthy than my daughter-in-law. أَبْعَثُ بِهِ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهِ مِنْهَا أُمُّ عُمَارَ نَصِيبَ بِنْتِ كَعْبِ. And Umar radiallahu anhu again reminisced and remembered the words of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Uhud, that I remember my Nabi saying, in Uhud, whether I looked right or left, I saw Ummu Umara there defending me. Right side, left side, wherever I looked, I saw Ummu Umara radiallahu ta'ala anha there. But imagine, she lost her arm in the occasion of Yamama. And she gave her life for Allah Ta'ala's deen like that. All her life she remembered the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one beautiful word, one beautiful hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually made dua for the family of Ummu Umara, wherein he said, Rahimakumullah ahla baytin. Allah have mercy on y'all. What a family y'all are. That the whole family together made qurbani and sacrifice for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made dua for them. Allahumma ja'alhum rufaqai fil jannah. Allah, you make this family my companions in jannah. Make them my friends in jannah. Make them my associate in jannah. And on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ummu Umara, radiallahu anha, O Ummu Umara, may yutiqu ma tutiqeen, ya Ummu Umara. Who can do what you can manage? Really, you excel everyone else. Allah bless. Allah give us tawfiq. What blessings of ours they need? Really, we need their blessings. We need their intercession. That Allah Ta'ala forgive us through them. Let us take few moments to read the quotes for this glorious sahabiya, radiallahu anha, and her children, and her family, and how she trained and prepared them to serve Allah's deen. Allah give us tawfiq also, to instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our children, while their hearts are very, very young. I just finished with the last couple of words. I remember not long ago, my ustad visited me at home, and he asked a beautiful question, that how come sometimes when our children are young, we let them wear everything, just like, the system of the non-Muslims. Because we think that they're young and they're small. So Hazrat Maulana Akram Sahib said so beautifully that, okay, they are small for sunnah, that's what we're trying to say. But they're not small for Western clothing. They're not small for Western clothing, so yes, they can, from a young age, have that Western system and Western clothing and grow up loving that. But for sunnah, they are small. And Allah forgive us, then we let them grow, and the Molana now in the madrasa must make effort to instill the love of sunnah in the child's life. That was actually us falling short in our duties of upbringing that child, like Sahaba radiallahu anhu brought up their children with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a tender young age. And that child, if he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that age, that love will only increase. And it won't just be lip service like us, Allah forgive us. It will be love which is deep rooted. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.